Well, if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians, we're going to continue through our book. If you got your little yellow book with you tonight, we'll be filling that out. If you don't, just write down the answer so you can go back and fill it in later. And by the way, if you don't have a book and you've really wanted one all this time, we do have extra. I think we got at least 8 to 10 extra books. So if you'd like one as your personal copy, you can get it filled out. Just copy someone else's book and get caught up. I can get you the answers that you need. But yeah, that's something that you'd like to have as a reference point in that right there. Well, let's, before we begin, we'll go just the order of service tonight will be we'll have a short message here, and then we will break up into our small groups. Now, being lower in numbers tonight, you know, our groups will naturally be smaller, but that's okay too. And we'll just get with our groups and do the best we can. And then we'll spend the remaining of our time in prayer. And so the goal has been 20-20-20. 20 minutes with a Bible message, 20 minutes with our groups, encouraging each other, practicing, sharing the gospel or testimonies, and then 20 minutes in prayer. That has been the goal and what we've sought to do. And I think we've done a pretty good job. I've been very encouraged personally in the small groups and just having an opportunity to share my testimony and hear others and just to be able to strengthen each other. Because, you know, let's face the facts. For the majority of us in this room, including your pastor, it can be very intimidating, sharing your faith or talking to someone else, a stranger that is, about the gospel. And that is one of the reasons we do practice, is to help us get used to the idea of speaking to someone. And it's, I would much rather start off with a friend than with an enemy. Amen. They'll be a little bit nicer. At least certain people that you have in our church will be a little nicer if starting off. But nevertheless, that's why we do what we do. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness. I do pray and thank you for the opportunity to be together on this Wednesday night. And Lord, I know there's inclement weather surrounding us, and folks perhaps are sick tonight, and folks are on vacation. And Lord, I just do pray that you would meet with us and that you would strengthen our hearts in this area of taking it personally. Lord, I just know that we are in need of this. Lord, I am in need of this. Lord, would you speak to us? Would you challenge us in this area of sharing the gospel and how it is a command and it is not a suggestion? Lord, please, would you guide us as a church to be more soul conscious? Lord, to be ready and willing to go and to be used of our great God and King. Lord, we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're starting a new chapter committed to multiplication. And in fact, that's one of your blanks, if I recall correctly. That'd be your first one, is multiplication. And there's one thing that's ultra clear in the New Testament, and that is this: that the gospel does not end in receiving it. Let me say that again. There's one thing ultra clear in the New Testament. That the gospel, it does not end in the receiving end, in receiving it. It is a truth, as we mentioned earlier, it is a truth to be passed along to others and not to be kept inside. And so therefore, there should be naturally a multiplication when we get the vision of, look, I can't keep this to myself. I have got to tell some folks. I just got to share this good news. All of us in this room have been in a place or another where we have received some good news. And you just could not wait to share that news with a friend, family member, or whoever it may be. And that's exactly what we want to do with the gospel. You'll notice there in your book, if you have it, and if you don't, you can go to John chapter 4. the Gospel of John. Hold your place there in Thessalonians. And look there in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. We see the example of someone, a lady in particular here, that had a burden to share Christ and to let people know that, hey, there's somebody y'all need to find out about. And that's John chapter 4, verse 28, we see here, and verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman at the well. And it says, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came unto him. And so there was definitely an effect that had been made upon her life. And what did she want to do? She wanted to share it. She wanted them to know about who this man was. Is not this the Christ? And that is exactly what taking it personally is doing, is sharing others what Christ has done for us. Back in where we originally went, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 6. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. So there was persecution there. There was not a comfort and quite frankly, the privileges that we have here tonight on a Wednesday night. You can come and receive the Word of God in comfort. I wanted to say n'est pas. I still have French that comes through my mind. Is it not? We come and we have padded pews, and we have nice climate control and nice lighting, and we're amongst friends, and so we don't have a dictator breathing down our throats and trying to persecute us. But these people did. But yet, even with that, it says, with joy of the Holy Ghost, listen to verse 7, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you, get this, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, not only there, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. What is so crystal clear there is that this message, this gospel message, had so impacted each of them that they could not resist the urge and the desire to go out and make it known. And that's what scares me to death. If we ever get to a place where we are in church and we're not compelled within our hearts and desires to go out and make this message known, that is one thing's obvious. Either we don't have it, or secondly, we've just grown cold. We've grown cold, and the gospel message has grown cold in our lives. But I don't believe that's the case here in our church. I'm seeing those coals burning brightly, and how much I appreciate that, and how much of encouragement it is with the enthusiasm I see. But you see here, my point is that there is a multiplication implied in the Word of God. You look through the book of Acts, and the beginning of the church, and you see multiplication. You see the verses there in your book, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 and verse 47, Acts chapter 5 verse 14. We see quickly people believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see multiplication. We see that those we see in Acts chapter 6 verses 1 and 7, Acts chapter 9 verse 31. We see here at the end of it says the Lord, it says, and walking in the fear of the Lord in chapter 9, verse 31, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And that's what happens when people get out and start sharing their faith. It is a natural result. So we want to see, number one here, the intentional involvement. I'm going to get over here. because I don't know where that little handy-dandy clicker is. I think Mike took it with him on purpose just so that I would squirm when I couldn't find it. So we see intentional involvement, making a choice, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're just going to be intentional about this, to encourage, to invite these new believers that we're reaching with the gospel. It just doesn't begin with salvation. If you're like me, that is the temptation, is it not? We have a desire to tell someone about Christ, and then we do, and then that possibly that person comes to know Christ, and then what? That's the question. Then what? Then what do we do? You know, I'm convicted about this in my own life. Sometimes we pray more for a person's salvation than we do praying for the person that comes to salvation. And those very beginning stages of that new believer's life, how important it is to make sure at that point that we are encouraging them to invite others to church. Some of these that have come to our church recently and have made a profession of faith, I try to make it a point, knowing that perhaps the people that they're in a relationship with or closest to them, most likely they are unbelievers. And so I understand that there may be an awkwardness there, but I immediately say, hey, tell your girlfriend, invite her to church, invite your boyfriend, tell them to come on, bring the whole family. Hey, listen, that's what we want. We want them to come and hear the gospel. And also this thing of inviting new Christians after they have come to Christ, we need to invite them to go out and invite others to church with us. I was so encouraged to hear about Waylon being able to go out to visitation the other day, and said he did a great job, and just to understand that he's a new believer. Here he is out passing out door hangers, been saved a couple weeks, and man, he's right on it. That is the way to do it, folks. That is what we want to do. We want to get them involved immediately, and to go with us, and to say, look, this is what the Christian life is about. It's about making Jesus Christ known. And then also offering. We need to offer to help others. Perhaps, and this can even go on the lines with some Christians that you already know. Now, this is something that I appreciate so much. You have those that that may not be comfortable. They're intimidated for whatever reason. There's some awkwardness there about sharing the gospel of Christ. Listen, can I encourage you to do something? And I encourage you to offer to go with them and to go and talk with someone about the gospel. You know, perhaps that's what you need, is just a little bit of encouragement. Perhaps you're a little intimidated going to talk to somebody about the Lord by yourself. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to grab somebody that's more mature in the Lord, or perhaps that's something they've been doing for a while and they've learned and grown and been trained in that area. You need to go to that person. Even I'm talking to some folks here. You need to be able to go to a believer that is active in soul winning and say, listen, I'm still learning this thing about sharing my faith. Would you be willing to go with me to this person and talk to them about the gospel? And you will that will show if you truly have a burden for those that you're trying to reach, if that makes any sense at all. So encouragement, inviting them to come along, which that's what we're trying to do, offering to help them, and also, you know, we see a private prayer. Is not only do we, as we are seeking to be multiplied by winning those to Christ, we see that there is private prayer. You'll notice the Apostle Paul, when he writes, as you see in your book there, when he writes the churches, he's always making known that he's praying for them. And so what I would encourage you to do, and we'll talk about this next time, all those that you are burdened about or either have spoken with on visitation, perhaps you remember an address. I've already heard several of you, different ones, by the way, say that, boy, we had a good conversation with this house. Well, what I encourage you to do, when you have those type of conversations, you write that address down, and if you remember the name, and you write that name down, and you start praying for that person. You start praying for that individual, and God will begin preparing their heart and enabling us and to go and to share the gospel with them, that the Lord would do a great work in their hearts. But Paul had a burden to pray, especially after they had come to know Christ. He's always talking about, without ceasing, I have prayed for you. And so can I encourage us as a church, as people start coming to know the Lord, let's covet, and even if we have to just be renewed in this and be recommitted in this, let's pray, commit to write down names of folks that are coming to Christ to pray for them, to pray for their growth, to pray for their temptations. You know, I can remember as a new Christian, I came to know Christ a little later in life when I was 21, and I remember having so many temptations after I came to know Christ because of the lifestyle that I had chosen and am not proud of. I was surrounded by temptation. And I remember specifically my mentor telling me, look, I'm praying for you. And then when he would disciple me, I remember him many times putting his arm around me and praying with me and asking God to help me. And because he knew, without really coming out and saying all the details, he knew the things that were going on in my life as a new Christian. And he knew that I was facing a lot of temptation, and that I was going to have to bust through a lot of obstacles that were attached to me as a new believer. And that's what we're running into out here too, and we will. And so one of the areas we need to make sure we're doing is praying for those folks. You know, I like the quote of J.O. Fraser, who's a very popular missionary. This is what he quoted. He said, just as a plant may die as a lack of watering, so may a genuine work of God die and rot for a lack of prayer. And we need to be reminded that we need to pray for our outreach. We need to pray for new converts. We need to pray for the seed of God's Word. Listen, folks, that's why I cannot emphasize enough why I am so thankful that we have a support team, that we got groups of people. We're showing that we are emphasizing the importance and power of prayer, that what we're doing, that we're asking God, we can go and do this, but Lord, truly, nothing's going to last, and nothing's going to make a real, true impact unless You, Lord God, intervene and do a mighty work that only You can do. And so we see the power of prayer. And then we see that goes along with prayer and is a faithful testimony. This is a faithful testimony. And, you know, the Lord wants us to be faithful in our testimony, to remain faithful as a Christian, and to remain faithful as a soul winner. You know, this goes without saying. As Paul said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. And parents, you know, can I encourage you in an area that I'm constantly challenged in? But something, let your children see you pass out gospel tracts. More is caught than taught. I'm here to tell you, it is vitally important for us to continually being a witness wherever we go. And can I tell you, you'll never hand out gospel tracts if you don't keep them on your person or somewhere close in your vicinity, and make that a habit in your life. And new believers see that. They see that burden of just having a faithful testimony. You know, I've heard it said before, the greatest gift you can give a new Christian is a good example. Is a good example. Just letting them know that you're real, and this is something that is a part of your life. And that's another thing that goes back to people that made a big impression upon my life. He's pastor now up in Illinois, but Dennis Clements, a man that I just love dearly. Brother Clements was a unique man, and he would often, and on purpose, and now looking back on it, he would often take me along with him to visit folks from the church, or to visit contacts that had come to the church. And wow, the things I learned from that man, just going with him. And then a guy by the name of Dennis Harry, who had a burden for people in the military. And I just happened to be one of those guys in the military in Charleston and met this man. And boy, he brought me alongside and started mentoring me. And right off, Brother Harry started taking me over to the Naval Weapons Station, the nuclear school right there in Charleston. And man, I'd go on base, and I could then freely, and we'd just go talk to those guys. We'd go over to the mall and talk to the sailors that would be there when they were on liberty. And I remember, as a new Christian, I was just so thankful. I would have been really, 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 really intimidated by myself. There's no question. I would have been extremely intimidated. But here I had a mature Christian man who had a burden for souls and had a burden for our military, and me as a new Christian, a babe in Christ, all kinds of rough edges, by the way, probably still had all kinds of bad habits hanging on to me that since then the Lord has given me freedom from, and I'm thankful for that. But at the time, but that didn't matter. He said, "You come along with me." And God used that in my life to increase my burden for souls. And but you know what? It gave me a distaste for sin at the same time. I can't explain that, church. I don't understand all that, but all I can think of is that the Holy Spirit was showing me of the people that I could reach, but I would not be effective with the things that were currently in my life. And you see how it all works together. It's God's plan of multiplication. When people come to Christ, we start investing in them immediately with our getting them involved with our prayer and with our faithful testimony. It's so very important. Well, we'll end there for the message tonight, and we'll get here in just a minute. We'll go in our groups, but tonight, as most of you have heard, it's just very sad news, quite frankly, and these things we don't understand, but Charity Jertberg did pass away, for those that you may not know, that went home to be with the Lord yesterday. And she had been battling cancer, as you all know. And I don't know all the details, but I know that a lot of pain was reoccurring and coming back, and they took her to the hospital. The next thing I know, I was getting a message that she was home with the Lord. And I know Charity was ready to meet the Lord, and that's a huge blessing. But that does not remove the pain that I'm sure Richard is feeling, and the family and the children and the things that they are experiencing right now with their emotions. And so we, with this taking place, we are going to emphasize praying for them, especially this week. I mean, we're going to continue praying for them, of course. But tonight, when we break up in prayer time, let's emphasize the need to pray for the Jertberg family. And the arrangements, I believe we have made those available. Where can we make those available? Where are they? Can we bring those up here? Brother David, if you'll come set them up right up here on the offering table. And if you would be interested in those to taking that, let me get one and I'll just read it here, Brother David. Thank you. They've already made the arrangements. A visitation will be Friday, April the 7th. 2017, from 5 to 8 p.m. at Horace A. Ward Funeral Home, Fairview Chapel, and that's in Stockbridge, Georgia. And then the funeral service will be Saturday, April 8th, 2017, at 11 a.m. at Way of the Cross Baptist Church. And that's, what is that? McDonough? Okay, McDonough, Georgia. All right. So that's where the funeral service will be. If some of you are maybe interested in carpooling, I think I'm going to be able to make the funeral service on Saturday. If anybody's interested in going carpooling, just try to work together on that. And some of you men want to ride along with me. I'm not sure if Joanna and the children would be able to make it, but I'm certainly planning on going. So you just talk to me if you'd like to ride along, or I could catch a ride with you. Either way. So be in prayer for this dear family, and also not only for the family, but for all the services that'll be. And this is something that we definitely need to pray about. Pray about the nationals there to whom they've been ministering, and pray for their hearts and pray that they would be strengthened. Because I'm sure, especially in this culture, there in Madagascar and other places of that African culture. Boy, the way they handle grief is a little bit different than we do, even as Christians. And so we truly need to pray for them. I think of the Thessalonians, you know, when they were so grieved at all their people passing and the comfort that Paul gave them about there will be a homecoming one day. And so just pray for them that God would work in their hearts and help them. And also be praying. I'll be talking with the men tonight after the service, but be praying what we could do as a church to be an encouragement to them during this time. And be praying that the Lord would be able to lead us to somehow be an encouragement in a very difficult time. So with that being said, is there anything else that needs to be mentioned right now before we break up in our groups? Anything else? We'll say this. David, will the leaders, will they have their handouts? You've got them to hand out? All right, well, why don't you go ahead and work your way up here, brother, so when they get ready to dismiss, they can just grab the handouts from you. And you can get that to the leaders. You'll see the order that we've talked about. I encourage you to use the illustration ideas. Those were great, Brother David. I appreciate you putting those in there. And can I share my testimony in 30 seconds? I just wanted you guys to have an idea of what we're looking for a 30-second testimony. It can be very difficult. But can I just try it here? I tried it earlier and I did it in 30 seconds. Actually, I did it about 27, and then the next one I did like 60. So I don't know how I doubled, but how that worked. But just try. The goal is to do it in 30 seconds. So here we go. I came to know the Lord in 2002 at the age of 21. I was stationed in the Coast Guard, and a couple of my shipmates shared the truth of God's Word with me. And through that, I came to know Christ. And I claimed John 3:16 for my salvation, knowing I'm going to heaven. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was 27 seconds. So basically what you want to do is you want to give a statement of your experience of coming to know Christ as your Savior. Now, if you're like my wife, you may have a testimony that is a little bit, it's not complicated, but it's a little bit more involved, if you will. So in other words, she made a profession of faith when she was 4 years old. And then she struggled with doubt for many years. And then she got assurance of her salvation when she was 16. I don't feel like you have to, don't think you have to go through the whole historical aspect of your testimony in this context. There may come a time for that, but it may sound something like this. Well, I actually came to know Christ at the age of 4, but for many years I struggled with doubt. And at the age of 16, I got assurance, and I know for sure, based upon verse so-and-so, Jesus Christ died for me, and I know He's my Savior. So you can shorten that up in a sense to where it won't be drawn out. And it may come a time where you can give more details of your doubts and your struggle. But the idea was, is you want to just come where you know you got assurance of your salvation and what may be a verse of Scripture that you base that salvation off of. It's not a feeling. It's based upon a verse. And that is just something I wanted to encourage y'all with. Try to keep it within 30 seconds. If it's a little shorter, that's okay too. But just for the sake of getting in a quick testimony, we want to work on those. All right, I think that is about it. And so we'll break up in your groups, and then we'll have prayer, and then you'll be dismissed for the evening. By the way, the tile, for the most part, is in. So we'll open up the front doors if you guys want to take a peek tonight. I think he's still going to get the grout in. I'm not sure if he got it all in. But if you want to take a peek, we'll open those doors up. It looks really good. I'm so glad about that. But so we'll make that available. All right, you are dismissed.